JG 1. Number 21A.
We just go, as Dick said, let's go again higher. How he likes this spiraling higher and higher from Abano's face, you see? And we all do. So here we go higher, meaning we'll add now another dimension to what we were just doing, seeing the tonality of the synonyms themselves in the world today, not forcing the issue, just letting it be natural. Now, this is something that actually Max Kapler and I were discussing together all the way back in 1970, once during the summer, at the summer schools, just thinking, gee, I wonder if it would be possible to put that new story of Matthew into the new language of today. So just jotting down what we're feeling, just throwing the ideas back and forth. What might be the way of showing that law of interdependence in the world as it's coming forth in the sciences as a science of all sciences? So this I'm going to show you is just verbatim from what we wrote down in 1970. Gosh, that's how long ago? 20? Okay. So it's now just taking a step further what we were talking about and the hearing the tonality in the world, but now it's seeing the life, truth, and love impelling mind, life, truth, and love impelling spirit, life, truth, and love impelling soul, life, truth, and love impelling principle, life, truth, and love impelling life, life, truth, and love impelling truth, life, truth, and love impelling love. So now let's hear the absolute Christian Science level behind the Christian Science level, which gives us that law of interdependence. Okay, remember how life, truth, and love impelled Jesus at the point to accept the parent mind? And life, truth, and love impelled his baptism, and life, truth, and love impelled the genealogy, and how life, truth, and love impelled the first day to be creative of fact and fulfilled? And so let's see if in the world we can hear those three tones and the law of interdependence in the sciences of today. Again, this is as we jotted it down in 1970, not changing anything, but just going out from what the feeling was at that time. And I stand in awe at the moment of how it was so far-reaching, and yet the world is just seeming to come around to accepting this, what we at that time thought, well, it should probably be called the new story of Matthew, or the new story of Christ Science. But I think it would be nice probably just to leave it under the title, The Science of All Sciences. Where we begin to see then that life, and what's on the screen is what we jotted down at that time then, that life had to do with the inner acceleration. Well, gosh, isn't that what Buchholz was talking about at that time? That life had to do with the inner acceleration, truth, the inner logic, and love, the inner goal-directedness. And then seeing, gosh, can one see then how life impels mind? What does life do to mind? Well, life impels mind to bring forth its information universe. So under the big roof category, we have there, under mind, the divine information universe, the intelligent universe. Already then, they were, of course, talking about the universe that thinks, that information universe. So in looking at that information universe of mind, one felt, oh, okay, then life, if it has that inner acceleration, that inner exponential drive within it, then it must be making the spontaneity of intelligence breaking in all over the world. And what happens when we get that spontaneity of intelligence breaking in all over the world? What happens then? Breakthrough? And what kinds of breakthroughs?
Informational breakthroughs.
information breakthroughs, if we spontaneously, the word's on spontaneously, if we spontaneously have a breakthrough of intelligence all over the world, what comes then?
Multiple
discoveries. See? So one can take that sense of multiple discoveries and be able then to bring it back to the sense, oh, sure, that's life, truth and love impelling mind, the information universe, to spontaneously bring forth its information. Do you hear? It sticks with the categories. We're at the category of life is mind. So it's a spontaneity of intelligence. Do you hear the two categories? And in text interpretation, we have to stay true to those categories. Do you hear life in its blending with mind? Spontaneity of life of what? Intelligence. So when you have the spontaneity of intelligence breaking in over everywhere, what do we get? As Dave says so rightly, we're getting multiple discoveries in the world. Well, the multiple discoveries in the world isn't just some funny thing that's happening that's, gee, that's strange. That's of a mystic nature. That's a miracle. It's not a miracle, because the law of interdependence of the one life is impelling the information intelligent universe to spontaneously bring forth its information everywhere at every time simultaneously. So you get your multiple discoveries. Fortune favors the prepared mind wherever it is. Not just one prepared mind. It doesn't say, I like your prepared mind a little better than so-and-so's prepared mind. And anyhow, you live in a better country and in a nice, cleaner house, and I choose you. It doesn't, does it? It just happens wherever. Yes, excuse me, Sandy.
Would that work the same thing with the change of consciousness around the world, too? I mean, is that...
Well, no, that's change of consciousness. That's a little different. See, I want to show you this sense of text interpretation so we don't go wild when we go out in the world and turn the lens of text interpretation on the world. That's very dangerous. Because without a tonality of the categories, you get this wild combinatorics, you see. That this is the new future. This is going forward. This isn't interpreting the Bible again and again and again. It's not interpreting the textbook again and again and again. We're turning the tools of text interpretation on and focusing them on the world. But we have to be polished in the tonality of the seven, the four, and the four. Huh? So we've got to stick to the categories. It may imply a change of consciousness, but it's not that here. That would be somewhere at truth, soul is truth or something. Yeah, no, it's not true to the category. So, again, we must, according to the rules of text interpretation, not put in our subjective interpretation or elaborate on it. Just stay true to the tone. That's the hardest thing. This is why this isn't going to be such easy work, because we have to make sure we know our tonality. That's why if we don't have a real good understanding of the tones of the synonyms, we'll have to say, well, we better go back and study the compendiums a little bit, huh? Or the four. See, the danger is, as we know, everybody comes up and says, well, it's all Christian Science. It isn't all Christian Science. They may be calling the mental the spiritual, and it's just this, the mental, like the hologram. Well, that's a phenomenon of the brain. It has, and all this psychic research and psychological stuff going on is just brainology. It has nothing to do with the divine mind. So here we want to hear the tone, purity of life itself. Certainly a spontaneity. That's pure, isn't it? And that's life. So we're safe with that one. And that's happening everywhere, isn't it? That's a safe point. And intelligence is mind. So you hear the life, spontaneity, impelling intelligence, mind. You hear the two categories, and you just keep them pure like that. And as time goes on, you're going to hear people mixing this like crazy. It'll drive us nuts. Under mind is life, they'll have something like change of consciousness, because that's our subjective interpretation of the effect of it.
Well, that's what I was thinking, it's kind of getting cause and effect.
It's getting it all mixed up. And so that's why these rules of text interpretation on point four, page four in the study aid are always good. They were rules of text interpretation for the Bible and the text, but they're good for us. Point three, don't give your humanly subjective interpretation. Stick to what the categories are saying to you. Don't elaborate on it. That's an elaboration. Like you said, oh, well, then the effect is a change of consciousness. It's not true to the category, is it? So this is what we want to exercise ourselves in. I wanted it as a little exercise because with this new science coming forth, this stuff can really go wild. And the only way the subject is going to be saved is if we say, no, that's not sticking to just cleanly life and intelligence. Okay, so life impelling the intelligent universe of mind, it impels it through the acceleration of life and from divine science spontaneously always, doesn't it? Because it's a law of interdependence. And we can say, that's great. Now, what is the effect of that? Well, you stick to the categories. It's multiple discoveries. See, multiple life discoveries mind. You're still staying within the tonality of life as mind. You see, Sandy? Multiple is the exponential, life, and discoveries is mind discovers. So it's still within life as mind. So it shows that this subject isn't such that it can be just abused.
Would this be the background to the Sheldrake hypothesis?
In what way, maybe, Dick? Like
the hypotheses of formative causation.
In what way? I have to.
Intelligence, one part of the world.
Yes.
Reflected by areas the same intelligence in another
right.
part of the world, and there's no communication between the two.
Okay, and they suddenly discover this. Yeah, absolutely.
The same thing at the same
yes,
time.
Absolutely. Yeah, the simultaneous. That's exactly. That would be life. That would be the law of interdependence of life impelling mind. Absolutely. And he always would call that kind of a field, huh?
A field.
It's a field, sure. He saw it going on in there. Sure, that's exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. What would be another one that we were talking about the first evening that would be an example of life impelling mind? It could be that sense that Heidegger was talking about, how being, life, forces thinkers to think. Life, impelling, being impelling, life impelling, mind to think. Where we saw that life impelled man to be the thought of God. Huh? Life impelling mind to think. That's within this category. So in that first subject we talked, where man is the thinker and the thought of God, remember we took this law of life, truth, and love impelling us. Well, that's why we could take it. Now we see the reason, because it's life, truth, and love, the acceleration of life, the spontaneity of life. It's impelling mind to think. It's nice, isn't it? And do we just keep it that simple? We won't get in more complex than that. All right? Then we go on. Not only there's another point to the triad. There's life, truth, and love. So therefore, what does truth do to mind, to the intelligent universe? So one just has to feel it out. What may it be doing? Well, we say, you know, remember, everything's an approximation and it can be corrected, but at the time one felt, well, maybe as truth, that they're beginning to see in the world that all material forms are mental. See? Truth, that inner logicity, that inner logic, beginning to see, well, maybe that there is that move from physics into metaphysics, into seeing that material forms are mental. Well, didn't do any more than that, just kind of was feeling it out. Huh? And then at love, what does it do to mind? Well, one says, gosh, it looks like love is impelling mind the world to look for a supra-human mind. Human still. They're still looking for a supra-human mind. Hegel was looking for the world mind. Guy Deschardin was looking for a cosmic mind. They were looking for an it mind, but it was always still kind of sniffed out to be human. Whereas today we get a little bit more that they're looking for a supra small mind. But we know that that is really, that what they're really looking for is the mind which is God, huh? That primeval, informative mind which is God. So why would supra have a sense of love? Love is all-embracing, isn't it? And so it's some total of deity. So that sense of looking for a supra, all-inclusive, total world mind. Hegel talked about the world mind. It was just questionable at the time whether he meant a divine mind or a big human mind. That's what we don't know. So we just say, oh, well, we'll put down like superhuman mind, because it sounded like they may, was there a distinction between it being a divine mind or a human mind? But that was the impact on the world. Okay, do you see how you can take, now, where we in our exercise did, oh, well, this is just, we could hear ourselves very nicely that the information universe, the intelligent universe, now this is just putting the next higher category of life, truth, and love behind it. It adds a little more to it, another dimension, doesn't it? It gives a higher power behind it. Okay? And one can go on and say, well, we did also what we did in class, where we were talking, well, what? How do we hear spirit today? And we all so nicely said, oh, it has, we hear order in the world, we hear order diversifying, diversifying, classifying, and individualizing itself, and we say, oh yes, we said, and that has to do with greater and complexity, isn't it? Didn't we say something like that? All right, now let's put life, truth, and love behind that. Also, one could see at that time that the concept of matter was becoming obsolete in physics, and therefore the concept of substance was becoming order. And complexity. Yes, Mike?
It's almost taking a literal interpretation, because we're, the physicists are actually accelerating matter.
Yeah.
And they're finally discovering its nothingness. They're accelerating matter, yeah, on cyclotrons to discover its unreality.
Yes.
They are.
Sure.
Literally.
Yeah, literally they're doing it. Absolutely, yeah. It's taking, meaning that by verification, do you mean, Mike? Like,
I mean the combination of the sense of acceleration in life.
Yeah.
And the opposite of spirit being matter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That literally they are.
That law is being translated down.
Yeah. To the literal. They're literally finding it. I guess you mean it's becoming concrete being. Is that what you're trying to bring out? That they're literally verifying it?
No,
they're verifying that law is operational, even in the human.
Yes, they're literally verifying the law in the human. That's what you're seeing. What Einstein saw, or the physicists see in the abstract mathematic, they're literally verifying in the human in their workshops, Michael's saying. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm. It's the Fermi.
Nice.
Fermi accelerator.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of was that play that with Einstein, wasn't it, where, you know, he did all these things with E equals MC squared, and they all came rushing in saying how they had verified in the laboratories, and then he would say, oh yeah, okay, that's nice, bye-bye, good chap, because he wasn't so interested, because he already knew that they would find it, huh? But that's good, Mike, what Michael's bringing out, that it's so dimensional that even today, though that they see it as a law, they're also literally verifying this law in the labs today. All right? So anyhow, so we saw that the substance is changing from matter into order and into complexity. That becomes the substance of the universe. Now, what would life do to what we have seen even in class here, to order and complexity? Say, okay, we were in class and we also said that when we work with spirit has a lot to do with order and complexity. Now let's see life, truth, and love behind that order and complexity. What will life do to that? What does life stand for here? Acceleration, huh? Absolute Christian Science level, it's the acceleration of life, the creative impulsion of life, the spontaneity of life. What would the acceleration of life and the spontaneity of life do to order and complexity issue? The issue of order and complexity. Is there movement going on in what they're finding out about order and complexity? Do things get simpler and simpler in the world? No. Is the pessimistic arrow of time at work in the world? No. The optimistic, and what do we say the optimistic arrow of time is doing to mankind? Is it taking us backwards? It's taking us forwards. And what's the word we use when it says we go forward, step by step?
Progress.
Yeah, we progress, but at spirit tone, we use that a lot with life. Unfold, so life unfolds. It also has to do with
development.
Evolution. So maybe at the point of life, one could talk about the evolution, huh? So therefore, what does the evolution of order and complexity do that Prigogine has been giving all these prizes for? What did he find out happens when there's evolution, considering this question of order? Doesn't it bring out from chaos into order? Out of, what was the title of his book? Order Out of Chaos? So that's this life-impelling spirit. You get order out of chaos. It isn't just that it was so clever that these scientists begin to write books about order out of chaos, and they begin to find that in chaos study of weather patterns and dropping drips and all these little things, that a chaotic condition is just going into a higher pattern, a higher order. It's wonderful, you know, when we see these television programs of water dropping, and they keep watching it drop long enough, it makes wonderful little patterns. So this isn't just, I mean, it's in being, and there's a law behind it. And the law now is life-impelling spirit to go forward, huh? Life-impelling more and more order, dropping off chaos, lifting off the restraints of the belief of chaos and going forward, huh? Through the phase transition from one state to another state. So there's evolution going on, all right? So all that information is bringing a change from chaos into order, into the optimistic era of time. They talk today about a law of increasing complexity. And that would be life. Life would be that which is impelling, increasing complexity. We hear life as spirit. And we stay to that category.
Those upper ones, you have it pretty clear-cut, spontaneity of intelligence. You got life and mind.
Yeah.
But down here, you just have one word, evolution.
Well, we can say life is impelling evolution, I guess, because life is impelling the evolution. You could put in front of that, just say the impulsion of evolution. I just wrote down how we did it in the 70s, but let's just say the impulsion of evolution. Then you could say from chaos into order, or the law of increasing complexity. I like that. It seems to have a lot to do with this particular point. But that's something that I just added now. But that's what they see about this life as spirit tone, that you're getting a law of evolution of complexity. Things get more and more complex, don't they? The complexity evolves. Order evolves through the impulsion of life. Okay? All right, so the next point here of, I guess we just wrote down one, two, specialization, meaning that form of complexity is such that there is a form to complexity. At the time, we'd written down specialization, that there's a form to this specialization, there's a form to this order, there's a form really to this diversification, classification, individualization. So I think today I'd like it if we said maybe that it's bringing form to complexity through the ordering process of diversification, classification, individualization. We saw there was form to specialization, but that form to specialization had to do with order, form coming to order in order to make it diversify, classify, and individualize itself. It caused it to bring out the form of order. And what is the form of order? It is diversification, classification, individualization. So one could say the form, the form of order? The form of the ordering process? Something like that?
Form to complexity.
Form to complexity, okay, that'd be good. Form of the ordering process, or we could say what? Form to complexity, bringing order to complexity, bringing form to complexity. I like that, bringing form to complexity. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I like it too. Okay, so we're updating the research. It's good.
What were those words again? Individualization and diversification?
Yes. When we studied the compendium at Spirit, that we found out that Spirit orders itself. Bring out its form, and the form that order is bringing out is that it has that rhythm of diversifying. It always diversifies something, classifies, and individualizes. That's the rhythm of Spirit. That's what Spirit is doing. It's diversifying, classifying, and individualizing. That's a form of that that's being brought out in that rhythm of Spirit.